Today's daf is Baba Kama daf Lamed Zayin. We left off on daf Lamed Zayin. We actually made it to daf Lamed Zayin yesterday. The last thing we mentioned yesterday was the issue of Prusbel. We had said that the Gemara had said Yisomim. Shmuel commented, Rav Yudah Shmuel commented that Yisomim don't require Prusbel. V'chein Tani Rami Bar Chama Yisomim Main Shrichim Prusbel. And Rav Gamliel Beis Dino Avi Shal Yisomim Hayu, because Rav Gamliel and Beis Dino, or any Beis Din really, is considered to be the Av of the Yisomim. They take control of all of the debts that are owed to the Yisomim, and therefore the Yisomim don't require Prusbel, because Prusbel is essentially an institutionalized Moser Shtaros of the Beis Din. The idea is that when you give your Shtaros over to Beis Din, then you're not going to be subject to Shemitah canceling out your loans. So Prusbel just institutionalizes the idea of Moser Shtaros of the Beis Din, and when it comes to Yisomim, their Shtaros are already Mesur in the Beis Din. The Beis Din takes charge of all of their Chovos. So that's what Rashi writes on the top Rashi, ain't shrichon prusbel de belaf hachilo meshamit shvius lachov alehen. That anyway, lachov shalehen. That anyway, shvius doesn't, shmita doesn't affect their chovos. Anan yadayu di yasmi anan. We are the hands of the Yisomim. V'rami alon lahafuchi bizchusayu. We do whatever we can to aid the Yisomim, to help them out. Hilkach shtaros shalehen k'mesurim lebeizdin. Therefore, their shtaros are considered as if they're given over to Beizdin. K'mesurim lebeizdin dami. And we know when you're most ashros of the Beisdin, Shmita doesn't affect the loan. The Zehu Gufo Shel Prusbel, then Rashi tells us, might as well, what is a Prusbel? Mosani Lechem Ploni, Ploni Adiyadin, the Mesechus Gittin. The Gemara, the main sugi is in Mesechus Gittin, Daf Lamed Vav, where it goes through what the Prusbel is all about. Then Rashi adds in one more line, Lahachi Nakat Rav Gamliel, Denasi Hava U Beisdino Beisdin Chashav. Why does the Gemara mention Rav Gamliel and Beis Dino are the Avi and Shel Yisomim? Rav Gamliel, Beis Dino. The whole point is that every Beis Din of every generation takes all the Chovos of the Yisomim. Rav Gamliel, why specifically mention Rav Gamliel? So Rashi says, oh, we choose Rav Gamliel because he was the Nasi, and his Beis Din was the most chash of a Beis Din. But it really means any Beis Din. Slav Dafka, Rav Gamliel's Beis Din, but his Beis Din was the most chash of a Beis Din at the time. It's a little bit different than what Rashi says in Gittin. Rashi says, we mention Rav Gamliel because at the time that Rabbi Yehuda Shmuel said this, or that Shmuel had said it, Rav Gamliel was still alive, and therefore he's the one that deserves mention, because again he was the most chashuv and he was still alive. Meaning the point is there may have been other chashuv batei din in other generations, but in that generation when this comment was being said, so in order to add emphasis about Beis Din taking over the loans of Yisomim, so they went with the most chashuv Beis Din at that time. Now Tosos doesn't like this pshat of Rashi, the idea that the shtaros are of Yisomim are mesurin leBeis Din, because Fractosos, if that's the whole issue, that the reason why Yisomim's loans that Yisomim make are not cancelled out from Shemitah is because their shtaros are given to Beis Din. What if there was no shtar? What if it was a milval peh? Not every time that you lend money do you write a shtar. So if you look at Tosos, Vim Tomar, milval peh ma'ik alameymar. What are you going to say about a milval peh? The kosum al prusbel could mukh bashalech. We write a prusbel on a milval peh. So what are you going to do about that? Some don't need a prusbel on a milval peh either. You can't say it's as if their shtaros were given over to Beis Din. So says Tosos, Yeshomer davi ki'ilu hachov shalahem masul leBeis Din. Enochinami. It's not the shtar that's given to Beis Din, it's as if whoever owes the Yisomim money owes Beis Din the money instead. And even if the guy doesn't have karka, we're makna karka in order that the Yisomim should be able to get paid back, because generally you only write a prusbel when someone has karka. But anyway, the point is that we take care of the Yisomim. Now, if you recall, the context of what we're in the middle of talking about over here is if someone is tokea on someone else's ear, meaning someone hits his friend in the ear. So the Gemara was discussing what kind of boshes payment you would make, what the payment would be for the boshes. So we said that it's supposed to be if someone is takel chavero, he gives him a sella, right? So we had a discussion what kind of sella we were talking about, and we tried to bring a raya from our Mishnah, whether the Mishnayos talk about the cheaper sellas even, or only talks about the more expensive sellas. But either way, that relates to the next story the Gemara tells. Chanan Bisha Takalei Lehu Gavra. Chanan Bisha As you may have guessed, Bisha is not a complimentary name. When it calls him Bisha, it's a way of saying that he was a bad guy. Chanan, the bad guy, hit somebody on his ear. Asal kamed Rav Huna, so they went to the base of Rav Huna, and Rav Huna said, Amalei zil havle palga dezuza. So Rav Huna said, you gotta pay him a half a zuz. Havle zuza macha. He had a zuz that was worn out. So it wasn't really the greatest zuz. It was a little well used. So by the misfale mine palga dezuza, belav mishtakale. He wanted to go to the money changer and exchange it for two half zuz and give the victim one of the halves, but none of the money changers wanted to take his worn out rotten zuz in order to exchange it for two halves because it wasn't in good enough condition. So what did he do? He had this zuz. He had to give a half. He had no way of changing it. So he did the only reasonable thing. Takalei achrina. He hit him again. Now he owed him two, so now he was able to give him the entire zuz. So it's an interesting story. Obviously, the fact that it calls him Chanan Bisha gives away the ending a little bit in the sense that it's not going to be a nice ending. But what's the chiddush? Why would the Gemara tell me this story? I already know you're chayiv, what you're chayiv for hitting your friend. So what's the chiddush over here? So the Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes over here, V'yavina alei, nir be'enai dilna haba nafik al yedei adchak. Meaning the point is, you're dealing with a zuz that was, perhaps, Rabbi Yaakov Emden says, nafik al yedei adchak. It was something that you can use it as currency. The storekeeper will grimace when you give it to him. He's not going to be happy with you, but you can use it. It is still currency, but it's certainly not in great shape, and some storekeepers may tell you, go spend it somewhere else. They're not interested in taking it. Money changers, obviously, were telling him they're not interested in taking it. So the chiddush is that such a zuz can be used to pay for this payment, for the boshes payment, that the victim doesn't have the right to, like the money changer has the right, the victim does not have the right to insist that you give him a zuz that's in better shape than this one. So that's the chiddush of the story. There are a couple of other things that come out of this story. The Cheshek Shlomo points out in the back of the Gemara that Uz Asal Kamed Rav Huna, so he points out that this case came to Rav Huna. Now the fact that you pay a set amount of money for an act done shows that this is a knas issue, right? To pay a half zuz for something, or a selah for something that was for a given act, shows that the payment is a knas payment. Now in order to be dan dine knasos, you need musmachin. You need people who have actual smicha. You need a real beis din to be, and it needs to be in Eretz Yisrael. You can't be dan dine knasos in Bavel. So Rav Huna lived in Bavel. So the Cheshek Shalom points out, the Tosfos Masechet Sanhedrin Dav Gimel asks the question, Heicha yudanin bebavel? How could they judge this case in Bavel? The halacha is ain dan in dine knasos bebavel. Because since knas is something that's not common in any event, how do we dan any cases in Bavel? Is because we assume that we're the shluchim of the original musmachim in Eretz Yisrael, of the beis din in Eretz Yisrael, who is allowed to be dan all these cases. But you only say assume we're the shluchim by milsa de shchicha, by regular dine mamnas. By dine knasos, it's milsa de lo shchicha. We are not their shluchim in Bavel, and therefore we can't do, we can't be done dine knasos in Bavel. So that's Tosfos Kasha. How could it be that Rav Huna over here in Baba Kama Lamed Zayin was done dine knasos? So the Cheshek Shlomo points out, I forget what Tosfos answers. He says, I am miskeres al shulchan, b'simon aleph, the kasa b'shem gonechad, v'alchiach mehad Rav Huna, kat yada. The Gemara tells us elsewhere that Rav Huna, as a punishment to someone who came to his beis din, chopped off the guy's head. Obviously, Rav Huna didn't believe very strongly in the limitation of the power of the judges in Bavel. He obviously must have not held that he's limited in the sense that we saw he was katz yada, he cut off someone's hand. So obviously, he held that he had the full authority of the strongest beis din. And therefore, he just doesn't hold to the idea of ein dan dine knasos bebavel. That may be how we pass on the halacha, but it's certainly not the way that Rav Huna himself held. Okay, that's that story. Let's move on. Says the Mishnah, shar shu mol d'mino v'enu mol d'sheinu mino. You have a shar that is a muad to damage like kind shvarim, meaning it's but it's not a muad to damage eno mino, to damage other kinds of animals. Muad la adam veinu muad la beima, meaning this shvar, every time it sees shvarim it damages, but it doesn't damage other animals. Or every time it sees an adam, a person, it damages, but veinu muad la beima, it sees animals and it never hurts another animal, it never gores another animal. So for that shvar going forward, if it damages a person, if it gores a person, it's going to pay nezek shalem. If it gores another animal, it's going to pay chatzi nezek, because it's a tam lagabe other animals, right? You see, basically what the Mishnah is telling us, we look for patterns and we see what is this shor expected to damage and what is it not expected to damage. Mod l'ktanim veinu mod l'gdolim. Sometimes it's only going to pick on the little guy, so it will only pick on smaller animals, but it will never gore a larger animal. So in that case, it's going to pay nezek shalem for smaller animals and chatzi nezek for larger animals. Eshu muad lo mishalim nezek shalem, v'sheinu muad lo mishalim chatzi nezek. In all these cases, whatever it's a muad for, it pays nezek shalem. Whatever it's not a muad for, it pays chatzi nezek. Amr l'chnei Rabbi Yehuda, so they said to Rabbi Yehuda, so there's a question in the girsa over here. It's either hareza, like we have it, or hare shahaya, meaning, what if? What if an animal only gored on Shabbos, not on a weekday? What do you think then? Do you think that there is such a thing as a mood for only Shabbos and not a mood for the weekday? What's the halacha? So Amar Lahem, the Shabbosos Mishalim Nezek Shalim Moschachal Mishalim Chatzi Nezek. Absolutely, there's such a thing. It could be that an animal gores on Shabbos only and not during the weekday. It pays Nezek Shalim for Shabbos and Chatzi Nezek during the week. Now, the animal is such a chacham, it knows when Shabbos is. Like the Gemara in Pesachim has an expression when the Gemara talks about whether you have to be choshish that the chulda, that the weasel has taken chametz just before Pesach and stored it up because he knows that Pesach is coming. The Gemara has an expression, v'chichulda neviyahi. What, the weasel is a navi, it knows that Pesach is coming. The animal is a navi, the animal knows when Shabbos is. That's one of, parenthetically, that's one of the few examples in Talmud Bavli that we have of the Gemara showing a sense of humor. Humor, because one of the Nevios was actually Chulda, so it's just an ironic line. It says Vichy Chulda means a weasel, Vichy Chulda Neviyah. Chulda certainly was a Navi, a Neviyah, but it's not the not what the Gemara means. But anyway, it's Babylonian humor here. Gotta get it. Okay, but anyway, the point being though, how does the Shor know that Shabbos is coming? What does the Shor know about Shabbos? So Rashi says, Harei Mul Shabbosos Lefishu Batal Mimalacha Vizacha Daito Alav. The Shor knows that something's different today because it's not working. So when it's not working, it feels all arrogant and it thinks it could pick on anybody, so it starts goring things. Or it's bored or whatever, it starts goring things. That's the that's why Shabbos is different. Any day that it's not working, it's gonna feel out of the ordinary and it's gonna start doing crazy things. That's why it's a mulah Shabbos, not for Yantif. Says Tosfos, no, it's a totally different reason. The animal has stranger anxiety. When it sees people wearing brighter clothing, nicer clothing for Shabbos, the Kavod Shabbos, it's not going to recognize them, and it's going to go crazy, and it's going to start goring all these people because it's going to assume that it doesn't recognize. It's not going to recognize these people. They're going to be strangers. Now there are a number of nafkaminas l'chora between Rashi and Tosfos. One nafkamina might be if the animal's not working on another day. They just there wasn't anything to do in the field, or for whatever reason you wanted to rest the animal. So according to Rashi, it's not a din in Shabbos per se, it's a din in not working. According to Tosfos, it is a din in Shabbos, because Shabbos is when you wear special clothing. Another nafkamina might be the Ramah Paskins and Shulchan Aruch and some Reish Mem Vav, that although you're not allowed to rent out your animal to a guy on Shabbos for him to work with in his field, on Yantif, you're allowed to have your animal rented out to a guy, and the guy can work with the animal in his field on Yantif. So according to that, we have another nafkamina, because according to Rashi, on Yantif, the animal might be working still, so the animal's not going to be a muad for Yantif. But according to Tosos, that people are wearing special clothing, so on Yantif, the animal is going to be a muad, because people wear special clothing, not just on Shabbos, but they wear special clothing on Yom Tov as well. So that too is a nafkamina. It also seems a nafkamina would be whether it would gore other shvarim, or whether it gores animals, or whether it gores people. meaning if according to Rashi it's just going crazy, because it's not, according to Tulsa it's about stranger anxiety. Who are the people are the ones that dress up in nice clothing. I don't think they had like little poodles that they would put on suit and tie on Shabbos and Yantif. The people are the ones that dressed up in nice clothing. So it would seem that that's what would go, unless you say no. When it sees the people in nice clothing, it just goes a little crazy. And it starts goring left and right. It starts goring everybody. There's a famous maisa with the Ragachover about this Mishnah. There was a woman, I heard this maisa from Rabbi Isaac Bernstein's Zichrono Livracha, that there was a woman who came to the Ragachover once and complaining that her newborn baby, while he was nursing fine during the week, wouldn't take any milk from her on Shabbos. The baby just wouldn't nurse from her on Shabbos. And she had no idea why, and it obviously is not healthy for a newborn to fast for a whole day, but that's, one thing. But there was a three-day Yantif coming up, and she didn't think he would survive. She didn't know what to do. She was very nervous. So she went to the Ragachover and asked the Ragachover, what should I do about this? So the Ragachover said to her, did you ask for Meir Simcha? So she said, yeah, I asked for Meir Simcha. He didn't know. He couldn't explain it. So the Ragachover said, what? But Meir Simcha forgot enough in the Yerushalmi. It's Ferish Yerushalmi. How can Rav Meir Simcha forget enough in Yerushalmi? Okay, please explain. So the Ragachover explained that it's Yerushalmi that Tosos quotes right here. Tosos says, what, an animal knows the difference between Shabbos and Yantif? No, the animal sees the clothing. It gets all excited by the clothing, has stranger anxiety, starts acting differently. So he said, your baby probably sees that you're dressed in different clothing on Shabbos, and that's why it doesn't want to nurse on Shabbos, because it doesn't recognize you, or it doesn't or it just sees all these bright colors, and his systems go a little haywire, so he doesn't want to take your milk. So the solution is pashut: put on your weekday clothing and nurse the baby, and that way it would solve the problem. That's the maisa with the Ragachover. It's a good maisa to illustrate whether it's true or not. I have no idea, but it's a good maisa to illustrate the when people sometimes ask, what do I need to know about a shor goring? I never see a shor. I never gore. I never saw anything gore anything. I never. What does this have to do with me? What does this have to? So you see how the Ragachover applied this halacha lemaisa in something that's totally unrelated. You never know how you can apply. Which we're going to see today. This is nogeh to Hilchos Nida. We're going to see this is Nogea to Vestos, which is something that's absolutely halacha lemaisa today. So that's a lot of times in Shas you have that, things that seem totally unrelated to practical halacha, and they're actually very much related to practical halacha. Okay, the Mishnah concludes, Emasai Hutam. At what point does an animal go back to becoming a tam? Mishi yachzer bo gimel yimei shabbosos. When it spends three shabbosos not goring. If it goes three shabbosos without goring, it goes back to being a tam. Says Tosos, afal gav de kvarosh mi'inan Rabbi Yehuda parkbeis itzrich, even though we already know what it means to be a tam, that you go back three times and not do it, still itzrich. Salchadai techol v'lav mu'ad el shabbosos, lo bay chazar kol kach. I might have thought that, yeah, that's when the animal's a regular mu'ad. A regular mu'ad that gores everything it sees, so if it sees three other animals and doesn't gore them, so then it goes back to being a tam. But I would have thought that a mu'ad, the Shabbos, is not really such a strong mu'ad. It's a much weaker mu'ad. So since it's a much weaker mu'ad, I might have thought that it's much easier to change its status and go back to being a tam. So that's why Kamash will learn over here. And then Tosas Ulpirsh Akuntras Nicha, the Mefarish Mu'ad the Shabbosos, Lufishenos Malacha. The Kamash will learn that Filus Shabbos mi Malacha b'yimeachal, v'lo nagach lo avi chazara. He says, according to Rashi, we understand very well what the chiddush is. Because since the whole idea is about the animal not doing malacha, I would say, you know how it becomes a tam? Give it 3 days off, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and see if it gores. And if it doesn't gore, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, if it's not working, then it's already a tam. So Kamash will in the Mishnah, no! If it's more the Shabbos, it's more the Shabbos, and that's it. It's got to go three Shabbosos without goring. The question, of course, then is why? Meaning, if Rashi says that it's all about doing malacha, so why doesn't it become a tam when it has 3 days? One of the nafkaminas I suggested between Rashi and Tosfos was pretty much along those lines. What if it's not doing malacha on a Tuesday? Do you assume that it's a muad for that day or not? So the way Tosfos understands Rashi, apparently, at least in terms of making it a tam, it won't become a tam with 3 days off during the week. It needs dafka shabbosos. One additional point to raise, the Rashash points out, that forget about the fact that it's a mu'ad the Shabbos. If it gores every Shabbos, isn't it a mu'ad to gore every 7 days? Meaning, can an animal be a mu'ad for Tuesdays? So according to Rashi's explanation, Tosfos' explanation sounds no, that Tuesdays is not a day of bitul malacha, it's not a day where people dress up. But, Frek the Rashash, why not? it gores every 7 days. You can have an animal that gores every other animal, and it's a mur to gore every other animal. So you can have an animal that gores every 7 days. So says Rosh Hashanah, it can be a mur for 2 days. It could be a mur for any day. But when you're dealing with a haflaga, so it may take 4 times to establish the pattern. Meaning when you're dealing with a haflaga, that it's every 7 days, so it's with a 7 day interval. You're going to need 3 7 day intervals in order to establish the pattern, in order to establish the mu'ad for the haflaga of 7 days. So we need to gore on 4 consecutive Tuesdays in order to become a mu'ad. But for Shabbos, you only need 3 times because it's not about a haflaga. It's not about the in between days. It's about Shabbos. So 3 Shabbosos, it's already established a pattern of goring on Shabbos. That's the nafkamina between Shabbos and the other days of the week. It's how many times it would take. That's how the Rosh Hashanah says. That'll become clearer in the Gemara later on. Okay, says the Gemara. Itmar, Rav Zvira Amar ve'eno mu'ad tanan. That the proper text of our Mishnah is ve'eno mu'ad. Rav Papa Amar eno mu'ad tanan. This is going on the first line. That a shar that's mu'ad lamino, are we then goris? Ve'enom will the sheno mino or enom will the sheno mino? What difference does it make? So Rav Zvira Amar ve'enom mu'ad tanan hastama havi mu'ad. Meaning the Mishnah is telling me that we have a case of a shor that's a mu'ad to gore its own min, and we know that it's not a mu'ad to gore other things because it's had plenty of opportunity and it doesn't gore other things. But the implication is, if it only had opportunity to gore other shvarim, and it does, we assume automatically minastam that it's a mu'ad for everything. It just happens to gore. It happens to have gored shvarim, but it would gore anything. So minastam, Rav Zit says, it's absolutely a mu'ad for everything. Rav Papa Amar eino mu'ad tanan. No, Rav Papa says it's a statement of fact. Tanan de stama lo avi mu'ad. It's telling me that the stama lo avi mu'ad is telling me that if a shor is a mu'ad lamino, it is not a mu'ad l'sheinu mino. Min astam, we do not assume it's a mu'ad to gore other things as well. So Rav Zid daik mi sefer of Papa daik mi reisha. Rav Zid was midaik from the sefer of Papa was midaik from the reisha. Rav Zid daik mi sefer, how so de katani, mu'ad l'katanim, ve'inu mu'ad l'gadolim. It says that if an animal is a mu'ad for small animals, but not for large animals, so yam pishlam of ve'inu mu'ad katani. I understand very well if the girsa is ve'inu mu'ad, and therefore the implication is hastamehavi mu'ad, that the automatic assumption is that normally it is a mu'ad for everything when it goes other shvarim. So then hakamashmal, and then there's a chiddush that filu mikatanim legadolim nami mistam avi mu'ad, that even if the animal has only gored small animals in the past, minastam will assume that it would gore large animals as well, until it proves that it doesn't. Until it proves that it doesn't want to start up with the big animals. But if it doesn't prove that, so we'll assume that it would gore large animals as well. But if you're going to assume that it's einu mu'ad, meaning that we assume automatically that it's not a mu'ad, so hashi yeshlomer miktanim miktanim di'alma stami lavi mu'ad, miktanim gadol mitzrich l'memer lavi mu'ad. If an animal, if we won't even assume that an animal that gores small oxen is a mu'ad to gore other small animals, so you think we're going to make the assumption that an animal that gores small animals is a mu'ad to gore large animals? We would never make that assumption. Obviously, if it won't even gore other small animals, we assume it's not even a mu'ad to gore other small animals, so we're obviously going to assume it's not going to be a mu'ad to gore larger animals. So that's the kash on Rav Papa. That's the diuk against Rav Papa. So Rav Papa Amalach, Rav Papa would respond, no, it's rich. It is a chiddush about the small and the large animals. Salka daitachamina hol paratspei bahumina paratspei lo shagadol and dev lo shagatani day. I might have thought that if it's goring small oxen, let's say, yes, it's a mu'ad to gore large oxen, because once it's goring oxen, it's going to gore oxen. It's not going to distinguish. But when it comes to that's what I would have thought, that it's that if it's going to gore small, it may not be even though you already told me that it's a mu'ad to gore other animals, that it's not a mu'ad to gore other animals, I would have thought it is a mu'ad to gore other size of the same kind of animal. So that's why kamashmal and delavi mu'ad. That's why it is a chiddush to tell me that just because it gores kitanim does not mean that it's a mu'ad to gore gedolim. So that's the chiddush of that line. Rav Papa daik mireisha. Rav Papa is medayik his halacha, his idea that the animal minastam we don't consider the animal a mu'ad. He's medayik it from the reisha. De katani mu'ad la adam ena mu'ad la behema. Iyam Rabbi Shlomo Einu Muad Tanan Stama Lavi Muad. If the Girsa is Einu Muad and it's teaching me that Minas Stam, we assume it's not a Muad, so I understand. Hakam Ashmalan Dafilu Me Adam Lebehema Nami Stama Lavi Muad. It's telling me even if it has gored people, we don't automatically assume that it would also gore animals. We generally speaking, the biggest chiddush for an animal to gore is a person. The most unusual thing for an animal to gore is a person, because the person has mazel, and the animal is a little bit afraid of the person. So we don't, the chiddush is, we don't assume that just because it gored a person, that it's also going to gore an animal. But if you're going to say that minastam, we do assume that it's a mu'ad across the board, so hashi yishlom b'mehem l'mehem astam yavi mu'ad, me'adam l'mehem atzrich l'mehem adavi mu'ad. If you tell me, of course, one kind of animal, that minastam, it's a mu'ad to gore all kinds of animals, is it a chiddush to tell me that when it gores an adam, that it's a mu'ad to gore animals as well? Of course, if it's a mu'ad to gore one animal, it's going to be a mu'ad to gore other animals which are on the same level. So when it gores an adam, which is on a higher level, of course it's going to be a mu'ad to gore other animals. How's Rav Zvid going to respond? Rav Zvid Amalach, Reisha, Achazara Kaino. That's talking about undoing a mu'ad status. Kigon to have a mu'ad, the adam, mu'ad, the behema. The animal was a mu'ad for both adam and behema. Vahadabemi behema, the kai gabemi fasadimni vlonagach. And then it undid its mu'ad status, legabe the behema, by seeing three behemos and not goring. So ma'ad the tema, kivin to lahadabemi adam, chazari behema lav chazarihi. I might have thought, since it didn't also backtrack on its mu'ad status from Adam, that the chazara on its mu'ad status of behema is worthless, and it should still be considered a mu'ad the behema, because it is a mu'ad the Adam. It comes to tell me that no, that if it backed out on its status of Mu'ad Behema, it's able to back out on its status of Mu'ad Behema even if it has not changed its status of Mu'ad Adam. When it's developing the Chazaka, so if it's a Mu'ad Adam, automatically it's going to be a Mu'ad Behema. That's for sure. But once it has the status of Mu'ad Behema and Mu'ad Adam, it can change one without the other. It can undo Mu'ad Behema and then be in a state where it's only a Mu'ad to gore an Adam, but not a Mu'ad to gore Behema. So now the Gemara is going to try to bring Raya's one way or the other. Meisvei. Sumcha says Mu'ad Adam, Mu'ad Behema, Mikal V'chomer. Sumcha says if an animal is a Mu'ad Adam, it's automatically a Mu'ad Behema from the following Kal V'chomer. Umal Adam Mu'ad, the Behema L'kol Shekein. If it's willing to start up with a person, then for sure it'll be willing to start up with a Behema. Michal the Tanakama Einu Mu'ad Kamar. That implies that the Tanakama would hold Einu Mu'ad. So it's a kasha on Rav Zvid, right? Rav Zvid said that Ve Einu Mu'ad, that Stama is Havi Mu'ad. Samle Rav Zvid, Sumchus Achazarakai. Now Sumchus is talking about, again, backing out of its position of being a Mu'ad. Vachi Kamale the Tanakama. This is what Sumchus is telling Tanakama. Dikha Amrit, that which you say, Chazar Debeim Achazarihi, Chazar Debeim Alav Chazarihi, Mikal V'chomer. That which you say, that if it changes its status of Mu'ad on a behema, that counts as a change in status, that it could remain a Mu'ad La'adam without remaining a Mu'ad La'behema, he says, Sumchus is arguing and saying that's not true from the following, Kal V'chomer, Me'adam, Uma Me'adam Lokom Ahadbeim Ibeim Lokol Shkein. Simply that if we still consider the animal dangerous to people, we have to consider it dangerous to other animals. That's Sumchus' take. Even though Enochinami, it saw three other animals, didn't gore them, if we're still going to consider it dangerous to other people, we have to consider it dangerous to other animals. Amr Rav Ashi, Tashma, another Raya. Amr Lufnei Rabbi Yehuda, Reza Mu'ad Shabbos, Veinu Mu'ad Yimos Achol. The Mishnah had said, an animal can be a Mu'ad for Shabbos, but not for weekdays. Amr Lahan, L'Shabbos, M'shalim Nezek, Shalim Mu'ad Achol, M'shalim Chatzi Nezek. So yes, can it be a Mu'ad for Shabbos and not for weekdays? And the answer is yes. On Shabbos, it's going to pay Nezek Shalim, on weekdays, it's going to pay Chatzi Nezek. That's what the Mishnah said. So Iyam Bishlama Ve'enu Mu'ad Katani. I understand very well if you're going to say like Rav Zvid that it's Ve'enu Mu'ad Tanan, meaning that and therefore Stama Havi Mu'ad. We would automatically assume that if it's a Mu'ad for one, it's a Mu'ad for the other. So Shili Hudukam Shaili Lei. He was asking a question. What about if it only gores on Shabbos? Do we automatically assume that it's a Mu'ad for the weekday as well? Vunami Kamahadalu. And he responded to him, no, we assume that it's only a Mu'ad for Shabbos, not for a weekday. Eliyamrit Einu Mu'ad Katani. But if you automatically assume all the time that when an animal only does one thing, it's a Mu'ad for that, and it's not a Mu'ad for something else, and that's what we're saying throughout, Agmur yitu kumakamri lei. So he's just telling him. He's not asking anything. Visu iu maik mahadalu. So what's the response? What's the answer? Why is he responding to him? He's just saying that there's such a thing. An animal is a mur for Shabbos, not a mur for Yontif. He can't be asking a question because there's nothing to ask. Of course, it's a mur for Shabbos, not for Yontif. So Amar Rav Yanai, Mireisha Nami Deka. So Rav Yanai says, yeah, we have a further proof from the Reisha as well. That whatever it's a mur for, it pays Nezek Shalom. Whatever it's not a mur for, it pays Chatzi Nezek. If you're going to say like Rav Zvid that it's ve'in a muad, meaning stam, it would have been a muad, but in this case we know that it's not a muad, so then it's the Mishnah is explaining, therefore, what the payments are. But if it's a definitional thing, that when an animal gores other oxen, it's a muad only for other oxen, not for other kinds of animals. When an animal gores only Adam, it's a muad only for Adam, not for Behema. By definition, right? It's not that it's proven, that's a definitional thing. Then, what's the chiddush then? The Mishnah is just telling me what a mu'ud pays and what a tam pays? We already know mu'ud pays nezek shalem, tam pays chatzi nezek. Vim tim sinomer nami isal d'raf papa. And then just as an added point, so now we've already proven our point. We've already proven that it makes more sense to say ve'enum wad than to say enum wad, right? If you say ve'enum wad, so then the Mishnah, I understand why the Mishnah is spelling out for me the halacha, because not every case that it's a mu'ad la'adam is it automatically enum wad la'behema. It would have to prove that it's enum wad la'behema in Rav Zid's view, and therefore it's telling me, and therefore when it does prove that, so it's chatzi nezek and nezek shalem. So that's a riot to Rav Zid. And now we just point out that if you're going to hold like Rav Papa, v'imtzim tzolam anami isul de Rav Papa, just happens to be an interesting halacha. If you hold like Rav Papa that when an animal is muad for one, it's automatically a muad for the other. So nagach shar. I'm sorry. If you hold like Rav Papa that it's when an animal is muad for one, it's not a muad for the other. It's not automatically a muad for the other. Nagach shar chamar v'gamal nasa muad l'kal. But if it gores three different types of animals, then it becomes a muad to gore all types of animals. Now there's a machlokes rishonim what lakol means. It's then a muad to gore what? A shor, chamar, and gamal, all of those, but not, let's say, a dog? Or do we say, no, lakol means if it's gored three different types of animals, then it's a muad to gore all animals. You see that it's not picky about the animals. That happens to be machlokes rishonim. The Rashash over here points out that Im nagach beiz shvarim v'chamar. What if it gores two oxen and one donkey? Then what do you say? So he says, it's a muad for those beiz minim, for a shor and a chamar, and not a muad for anything else. And he says, that's not only, he says, lomi ba'yiladasa rabam degam begimel minim chalukim einu muad el lahem. And he says, I'm not only saying that within the shitas harambam, who holds that in our case of shor, chamar, v'gamel, that it's only a muad for shor, chamar, and gamel. And therefore, obviously makes sense that if, of course, two shvarim and one chamar, it's going to be a muad only for shor and chamar. That's a davar pashut, according to the Rambam. He says, but even if you say not like the Rambam, even the Cholkam Alavin, the who hold that muad l'kol means it's a muad for everything, would also agree that if it's two shvarim and one chamar, so it hasn't yet shown three different types of animals willing to gore, still it becomes a muad for those animals, for the shar and the chamar. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter, Tan Rabbanan, Ra'a shar nagach, shar lo nagach, shar nagach, shar lo nagach, shar nagach, shar lo nagach, nasumul the sirug l'shvarim. If it sees an ox gores, another ox doesn't, another ox does, another ox doesn't, another ox doesn't, so you see a pattern over here. It gores every other ox. So it's a muad to gore every other ox. So if it goes out of that pattern, it's only going to pay chatzi nezek. If it remains in that pattern, it's going to pay nezek shalem for each goring. Now, why does it finish off with shar lo nagach? What do you need the last one for? Doesn't it already have the pattern when you have the last shor nagach, that it gores, doesn't gores, doesn't gores? You already saw it gored three times with the sirugin, right? So why do you need that last one? So Tosfos points out, basra tzedakah k'deishim yigach li'altam mishalim nezek shalim. The reason for the last one is just to set up the case where the next time it gores, it's going to pay nezek shalim. Meaning, if we didn't have that last shor lo nagach, then if we were to leave it off as shor nagach, as the third goring, then the next time it would gore, it wouldn't pay nezek shalim, because that would be off pattern. it would only pay chatzi nezek. But that's already, the pattern is already established. Once it gored three times, you don't have to have it go back and forth all three, the third time as well. Okay, says Maravaita, Tan Rabbanan, Ra'a shar nagach, chamor lo nagach, sus nagach, gamol lo nagach, pered nagach, arud lo nagach, nasamul de serugin lakal. So if it sees different kinds of animals all the time, and it gores three different kinds of animals, skipping, so then it's a mul de serugin for all kinds of animals. So you assume every other animal it sees, it's going to automatically gore. And obviously we're talking about that it doesn't see any other animals in between, that it's 1-1-1-1, that it doesn't see any other animals in between. So it asks Tosos, wait a second, according to Rav Zvid, even if it only gored Shvarim every other time, it would be a muad l'seirugin to gore everything. Because when it gores a shar, it's automatically a muad to gore everything else. Right? It's an automatic. So, minastam, we assume it's a muad to gore everything else. Why does the Gemara, according to Rav Zvid, why would the Brisa need to mix it up and tell me all these different kinds of animals? It's a strong kasha. So Tosos says, maybe you have to say that we're talking about a case where at the time that it gored the Shvarim, there were, or Nafkamini says, at the time that it gored these three minim, there were a lot of other minim around, and it still only gored these three. So if the three that it gored were only Shvarim, when there were a lot of other animals around, maybe then Rav Zvid would be moda that it's not a muad to gore other animals. Normally, if it gores a shar, it's a muad to gore anything, because we assume if it's going to start up with a shar, it will start up with anything. But if every time it gored a shar, there were a million other animals that it could have gored, and still it chose the shar every time, then it's not going to be a muad to gore the shar. That's Tosa's second answer. Tosa's first answer is to Rav Zvid, to Kasav Rav Zvid Rabusa Kamashbalan, that it's an extra chiddush. To Salka Daitach Pahanach Mini Dechaz of Lo Nagach Lo Avi Muad V'Lav B'Sirugin Tali Milsa. Because I might have thought that this animal is picky. It likes to gore certain animals and not others. There are six different types of animals. Three of them it gored, three of them it didn't gore. Maybe it's not an issue of a pattern of every other animal. I might have just thought that it likes the three that it gored, that it didn't gore, and doesn't like the three that it gored. So that's what Kamash Malan, that it is a Mu'al the Sirugin. Iba Yilahu. Nagach Shar 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 Chamar Gamal. What if it gores ox, 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 donkey, camel, mahu? Hai Shar Basar Basar Shvarim Shadim Alei. Do we assume that third Shar is in the pattern of the goring Shvarim? V'akatim l'shvarim hu d'yayid, l'midi akrin lo yayid. And therefore it's only a Mu'al to gore Shvarim, it's not yet a Mu'al to gore all other animals. Odilma, or maybe you say, no, that last shar is part of the new pattern of shar chamar gamal, and now it's a muad to gore everything. Chamar v'gamal, shar shar shar. What if you have it in the reverse? Chamar, then a gamal, then shar, then three shvarim. Mahu. Do we assume that the first shar was part of the previous pattern? It was chamar gamal shar, and therefore it's a muad for everything. Or maybe the third shar is in the pattern of the fourth and fifth shar, and therefore it's only muad to gore shvarim, it's not muad to gore anything else. Shabbos, Shabbos, v'Shabbos, echem Shabbos, shein v'Shabbos. Gores Shabbos, 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 Sunday, Monday. Mahu, ha Shabbos b'shayis abas Shabbos u'shlini v'akati l'Shabbos u'diyali v'schalo yayid. Do we assume that that last Shabbos was part of the pattern of Shabbosos, and therefore it's still only a mord for Shabbos, not for weekdays? Or maybe we assume, no, that it's part of the pattern of Shabbos Sunday Monday, but it's not part of the pattern of previous Shabbosos. Hey b'Shabbos ever Shabbos v'Shabbos Shabbos Shabbos. What if it gores Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, Shabbos Shabbos? Do we assume Mao Hashabbos Kamais Abasar Hebe Shabbos Erev Shabbos Shadin Levi Yai Lukuli Yame? Do we assume that it's Thursday, Friday, Shabbos pattern, and therefore it's a muad for all days? Odilma Hashabbos Kamais Abasar Shabbos Shadin Levi Shabbos Sudiyai. Or do you assume that first Shabbos is part of a pattern of Shabbosos, and therefore it's only a muad to gore on Shabbosos? Teku. So it leaves it as Teku. Nagach Shar Yom Tesvav Bechodesh Zeh Yom Tezayin Bechodesh Zeh Yom Yudzayin Bechodesh Zeh. So what if an animal gores on the 15th day of Nisan, 16th day of Iyar, 17th day of Sivan? So it goes up one day in the calendar every month. So plukta de Rav Shmuel. That's machlokas Rav and Shmuel. The Itmar, because we have in Hilchas Nida, right, a direct connection that the Gemara makes to Hilchas Nida, Rasa Yom Tesva B'Chodesev, Yom Tesayim B'Chodesev, Yom Yudzayim B'Chodesev. If you plug into your Vestos program that a woman sees Dam on the 15th day of 1 month, on the 16th day of the following month, on the 17th day of the following month. Rav Amar Kavala Veses. Rav says she already has a Veses right then and there. She has been Koveya Veses. Ushmol Amar Atshet Shalish Bediluk. Shmuel says she has not yet been Koveya Veses because she hasn't been Medalig. You have to be Meshalish Bediluk, meaning you need three skippings, not three Re'ios that happen to be with skipping, but you need to skip three times. Going from day 15 to 16 is one skip. 16 to 17 is another skip, but you still need to skip a third time from day 17 to day 18. So Amar Rava, Shama Kol Shofar, Nagach Kol Shofar V'Nagach Kol Shofar V'Nagach Nasamul Shofaros. If it hears Kol Shofaros all the time in the course, whenever it hears Kol Shofar, so it's a Mu'at Tegur whenever it hears Kol Shofar. Pshita, isn't that obvious? No, Ma'al Tatei Mahach Shofar Kama Siyuta V'Yalmuhu Dinakte Kamash Malon. I might have thought that the first Shofar just frightened it, and that's what caused it to go nuts, but afterwards when it was used to it already, it's not the Shofar that's making it gore. So Kamash Malon, then it is the Shofar that's making it gore. You have another 2 minutes, right? So the Tosas says, even though we say there's a machlokas over here, if it gores, Tezvav 1 month, Tezzayin the next, Yudzayin the next month, if it were to gore Tezvav every month, then everyone would agree that it is considered a muad. If of course, test, meaning for 3 months, you don't need a fourth month. Everyone would agree you don't need a fourth month. Ubenidanami kovas vesta afgav deleka elishtei pa'amim sof lamed yom. And even by anida, the halacha would be that's a kvias vest. I fractosos, but wait a second, isn't this a vest haflaga of 30 days? So shouldn't you need 3 haflagos of 30 days, which would automatically mean 4 re'ios? So he says, no. When you're talking about the Yom HaChodesh, it's not a vest haflaga. It's not a vest because it's been a certain amount of days since the last one. It's because she is assumed to see Dam on that day of the month. Nothing to do with haflaga. The lav sof lamed yom garim, ela tesfa b'chodesh garim, kama reish yacha v'reish yacha v'reish yacha, dekava vesta b'gibel ri'os halal, k'dimashma m'shilib noskutim. Just like the Gemara Nida says, that if a woman sees every Rosh Chodesh, so we assume that she has a vest to see Dafka on Rosh Chodesh, and not on other days of the month. We assume that the Yareach, somehow the moon, causes, somehow affects her Re'ios. It has nothing to do with the Haflagos per se. But when it's a Haflaga, you would need 3 Haflagos, which would involve 4 Re'ios. When it's a Haflaga Ledilug, according to the subject of this Machlokes Rav Shmuel, you may need 5 Re'ios. If a woman sees after 20 days, and then after 21, and then after 22, then after 23, so does she have a vest? She's only... After 20 days is one aflaga, but she hasn't been medalik yet. After 21, that's her first diluk. So she's already at 3 re'ios, only one diluk. So it would take till her 5th re'iyah, till she's koveya vest. Because these things are so complicated, that's why we strongly recommend that everyone uses the computer program for vestos, because it will do a much better job than we will usually in picking up any trends in vestos.